Okay, I didn't see it. Morning. Will everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
In the 23rd chapter of Proverbs, we hear, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Creator God, hear our prayers this morning as we prepare to finish up our work and to head home to be with those we love. Let us be mindful that you are the Creator and we are your creation. You have created us so that we might be comforted, knowing that we are just men and women, husband and wives, fathers and mothers, called to be interdependent with one another, and therefore in need of one another to be made whole by thinking no more of ourselves than we should. Help us use this time for rest and to firm up our relationship with one another. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Phelps, Senator from Franklin. A quorum is present. The Senate is now in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 30.
Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Introductions. Senator, are you seeking recognition? Senator, yeah.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce some very special guests. Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce three young people that are visiting from the 1st District who attend the University of Missouri-Columbia, and they're participating in Undergraduate Research Day here, and they have their projects in the rotunda. And if they would stand, we have Lauren Auspach with us today, Eric Beshasher, and Matt Brighty, if you'd wave, and if we could welcome them, Mr.
We're
President.
We're delighted to welcome the guests of the Senator from the 1st to the Missouri Senate here today. Senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two guests. To my right and to your left, we have the Honorable Antonio French. He is the alderman of the mighty 21st Ward, City of St. Louis, where I learned my craft. And I'd ask the body to welcome him warmly.
Let's welcome Alderman Antonio French, my good friend, to the Missouri Senate. Introduction.
One more. My second guest this morning is student at Mizzou, Ms. Cam Phillips. Ms. Phillips developed a program on campus there that lowers the risk of at-risk youth, exposes them to alternative career pathways. As a result of that, she is in a finalist position with the White House campaign on Champions of Change. We can vote for her. The vote ends on March the 3rd. If we would log into dit.ly/vote-dream. She is looking to be a social worker when she graduates, and she's a senior at Mizzou, and I would ask the body to welcome her and wish her well on her quest for being the winner.
Let's welcome the second guest of the Senator from the 5th to the Missouri Senate. Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from Saline.
Mr. President, I have a Senate concurrent resolution.
Send it forward, sir.
I would ask it to be printed.
Thank you, Senator. We shall print it in the journal.
Mr. President, if I could explain just a little
Proceed
bit.
Proceed with your explanation.
Mr. President, every morning I walk in and I look at this portrait we have over here to your right. And this is a portrait of Thomas Hart Benton extolling the folks in St. Louis to build a bridge across the Mississippi River. And they put that off because they thought the steamboat industry was going to be the future, and they didn't want a bridge obstructing the river. There were some folks in a little village north of there in Illinois that built a bridge across the Mississippi River, and Chicago became Chicago, and St. Louis became St. Louis. I truly believe we're at one of those 100-year decision points. Missouri has an opportunity to be the distribution point for the nation. Remind you also that 15 years after this speech, St. Joe didn't want to build a bridge across the Missouri River. Kansas City did, and Kansas City became Kansas City, and St. Joe became St. Joe. I think we have this opportunity. This resolution would create an interim committee to explore the needs of Missouri's infrastructure. And I'm looking forward to having an opportunity to discuss this on the floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. We're on the order of business of concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills.
Send them forward.
Thank you.
Madam Secretary, read the bills.
Senate Bill 881, introduced by Senator Pierce, an act relating to a tax credit for processed biomass engineered fiber fuel.
Senator, do you care to explain?
Thank you, Mr. President. That's a bill about a tax credit for processed biomass engineered by fossil fuel.
Read the next bill.
Senate Bill 882, introduced by Senator Pierce, an act relating to tax deductions for job creation by small businesses.
Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President. That's a bill about a tax deduction for job creation by small businesses.
You only have two.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from Newton.
I have a bill.
Please send it forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 883, introduced by Senator Richard, an act relating to the agreement among the states to elect the president by National Popular Vote Act.
Senator?
No explanation necessary, Mr. President.
Further introduction of bill. Senator from Franklin.
I have a bill.
Please send it forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 884, introduced by Senator Nieves, an act relating to weapons.
Senator?
Yes, I would like to give an explanation. This is an act relating to weapons. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from St. Francis, please send your three bills forward. Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the three bills when they arrive.
Senate Bill 885, introduced by Senator Engler, an act relating to prohibited acts involving the use of explosives. Senate Bill 886, introduced by Senator Engler, an act relating to malpractice insurance.
Senator from St. Francis, you said you had three bills, but only two were... Okay, two. Thank you. Senator from 17th, from Clay.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills and no explanation for either.
Please send both your bills forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bills.
Senate Bill 887, introduced by Senator Ridgeway, an act relating to sales taxes for public safety.
Please read the second bill.
Senate Bill 888, introduced by Senator Ridgeway, an act relating to establishment of a municipal court by a county.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from Nottoway.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have three bills. I'd send them forward as they're on their way forward. I just want to let you know I think you're doing a fantastic job today. And I just want to remind the body that on March 19th is a very special day of a very special lady in this body, and I hope no one forgets. I would just remind everyone, March 19th. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Do you need explanation on your bills?
Sure.
Okay. Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill 889, introduced by Senator Lager, an act relating to natural resources.
Senator, do you care to explain?
Yes, Mr. President. This is a bill relating to natural resources.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 890, introduced by Senator Lager, an act relating to Division of Financial Examinations.
Senator, do you care to explain your bill besides the fact that it deals with the Division of Financial Explanations?
I do not. Thank you.
Read the third bill.
Senate Bill 891, introduced by Senator Lager, an act relating to utilities.
Senator, you care to explain the bill about utilities?
We're just trying to keep the lights on, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from the 8th.
I have two bills, Mr. President.
Please send both your bills forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bills.
Senate Bill 892, introduced by Senator Krause, an act relating to uniformed military and overseas voters.
Senator from Jackson, do you care to explain?
Act dealing with uniformed military voting.
Please read the second bill.
Senate Bill 893, introduced by Senator Krause, an act relating to completing a criminal history check as part of the process for issuing or reinstating driving privileges.
Senator, do you care to explain this bill?
No explanation. Thank you.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from the 9th, what purpose? You have a bill.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have three bills.
Three bills. Please send your bills forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bills.
Senate Bill 894, introduced by Senator Curls, an act relating to applications for certain licenses and permits.
Senator, do you care to explain?
Yes. Application relative to certain licenses and permits.
Senator, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill 895, introduced by Senator Curls, An act relating to school districts classified as unaccredited or provisionally accredited by the State Board of Education.
Senator, do you care to explain?
Explanation.
Great. Senator from Boone.
Mr. President, I have three bills, no explanation required.
Please send your three bills forward, and Madam Secretary, please read the bills.
Senate Bill 896, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to tobacco.
Please read the second bill.
Senate Bill 897, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to the prohibition of establishing roadside checkpoint patterns based on vehicle types.
Please read the third bill.
Senate Bill 898, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to asbestos abatement.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from the 13th.
I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. Please read the bills.
Senate Bill 899, introduced by Senator Green, an act relating to the transfer of certain fund balances to the General Revenue Fund.
Senator, do you care to explain?
Transfer of certain funds to the General Revenue Fund.
Please read the next bill. He only had one. Further introduction of bills. Senator from... Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill. Just one.
Please send your bill forward, and Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 900, introduced by Senator Munslinger, an act relating to delinquent debts for the cost of imprisonment in a county jail.
Senator, would you like to explain your bill?
I think it was self-explanatory. Thank you.
Thank you. Further introduction of bills. Senator from the 1st.
Mr. President, I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. And Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 901, introduced by Senator Lemke, an act relating to Industrial Development Bonding Authority.
Senator, do you care to explain?
I do, Mr. President. This is an act that has to do with Industrial Development Bonding Authority. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further introduction of bills. Senator from the 24th.
Two bills. No explanation necessary.
Please send both your bills forward.
Senate Bill 902, introduced by Senator Lamping, an act relating to the regulation of public utilities.
Please read the second bill.
Senate Bill 903, introduced by Senator Lamping, an act relating to dogfighting.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from Stoddard.
Mr. President, I have two bills, and I'd like to send those forward with your permission.
Please send them forward so that the Secretary may read your bills. We are currently waiting on the bills from the senator from Stoddard. The bills have arrived. Please read the first bill.
Senate Bill 904, introduced by Senator Mayer, an act relating to ambulatory surgical centers.
Senator, do you care to explain?
No.
Please read the next bill.
Senate Bill 905, introduced by Senator Mayer, an act relating to political subdivision contracts for water storage tanks.
Senator, do you care to explain?
Mr. President, this just changes the law in regarding municipalities and different public entities as they do certain maintenance work on water towers and water tanks. Thank you.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from Jackson, you've already been recognized to introduce bill.
I've got another bill.
You've got another bill. Please send it forward and regale us with its contents. Senator from Jackson is currently signing his bills, which need to be signed. Each copy, three copies, sent forward to the Secretary of the Senate.
Pre-signed, but our great staff is very busy preparing bills today, and I just got this one and wanted to get it done during this order.
Well, we are excited to have the Secretary of the Senate read the bill.
Senate Bill 906, introduced by Senator Krause, an act relating to the eligibility of certain taxpayers for programs administered by the Department of Economic Development.
Would you care to explain?
Did a great job, Mr. President.
Further introduction of bills. Further introduction of bills. Senator from Boone, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
I thought we were done, Mr. President. Seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Senator from Boone is seeking unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests. Hearing no objection, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Up in the gallery, we've got more than 46 students from the University of Missouri campuses in Columbia, Kansas City, St. Louis, and Rolla. And they're participating in Missouri's Undergraduate Research Day. And from 10:30 to 2 in the Rotunda, they'll have some very interesting displays highlighting their work. I want to encourage all members to take a few minutes today to go out and see those very impressive projects and to welcome those students to the Capitol today.
Well, with the guests of the Senator from Boone that are here from the University of Missouri and their all campuses, please rise. And the Missouri Senate will welcome you. Thank you for participating in your research today. Further introduction of bills. Senator from 13th, what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest.
Hearing no objection, Senator, you may proceed.
I, along with the Senator from the 1st, would like to introduce one of our farmer colleagues that has made it up here, the Honorable Farmer Senator Harry Kennedy.
Ah, will the Senate please welcome a colleague, Senator Kennedy from St. Louis. Welcome. Thank you for coming back home. Further introduction of bills. Senator from Buchanan.
Have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 907, introduced by Senator Shaw, an act relating to labor organization postings.
Do you care to explain?
No explanation.
Very good. Further introduction of bills. Just a reminder, today is the last day to file bills in the Missouri Senate. Further introduction of bills. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will go back to that order of business at the end of the day. I know there are a couple members working on a couple of bills. So. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of third reading of Senate bills.
Third reading of Senate bills. Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 655. Senator from the 13th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move we third read and finally pass Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 655. This is the piece of legislation we discussed earlier in the week, which creates a higher education capital fund to provide matching funds to public colleges and universities capital projects under certain circumstances. There's no questions. I renew
Senator from the 13th has moved that we bring before the body Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 655. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye. All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body. And the senator from the 13th has made the motion to place upon his final passage and third read Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 655. He has explained the bill. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
The senator from the 13th has closed on his third reading and final passage motion for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 655. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 655, an act relating to the Higher Education Capital Fund. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop,
aye.
Schaff, Schaefer,
aye.
Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from Phelps, votes aye. Senator from the 24th, votes aye. Senator from the 7th, votes aye. By your vote of 31 aye and 2 no, you have placed upon his final passage and read the third time Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bill number 655. Hearing no objection, let the journal show that the titling and the perfecting motions were made and carried. Continuing on that same calendar, Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 648, the senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 648 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 23rd. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You've brought the bill before the body. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 648 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage.
You have heard the motion from the senator from the 23rd. Any discussion on that motion? Senator, would you care to explain?
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the bill that would give, with parental consent, a licensed 25-year-old or older the ability to provide that driver training for that prospective young driver. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
The senator from the 23rd has closed on his motion to read the third time and place upon his final passage Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 648. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 648, an act relating to the issuance of temporary driver instruction permits. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop,
aye.
Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from the 11th, votes aye. Senator from the 9th, votes aye. Senator from Buchanan, votes aye. By your vote of 32 aye and 0 no, you have placed upon its final passage and read the third time Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 648. There's no objection. Let the journal show that the titling and the perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from Jasper, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask unanimous consent for an introduction.
Hearing no objection, you may proceed.
I would ask the Senate to make welcome Bethany Henry from Neosho, Missouri, graduating in May with degrees in history and anthropology and a minor in Spanish, attending a graduate school studying Native American history, and I wish the body to make her feel welcome.
Well, would the guest from the Senator from Jasper please wave so that we can, and congratulations on your impending graduation, and welcome to the Missouri Senate. Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose is he seeking recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent for an introduction of
Hearing
special
no
guests.
Objection, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today we have visiting with us eight medical doctors. They're doctors of osteopathy visiting us, and along with one student doctor, and I would make them welcome.
Would the guests of the Senator from Buchanan please wave so we can welcome you to the Missouri Senate. Thank you for visiting today. Continuing on that same calendar, Senate Bill Number 568, the Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 568 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Polk. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, the bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 568 be read a third time and finally passed. Mr. President, this is a bill we heard yesterday, and it actually just expands the move-over law to include MoDOT vehicles.
You have heard the motion from the Senator from Polk to read the third time, place upon his final passage, Senate Bill Number 568. Any discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized. Close.
President, I close.
The Senator from Polk has closed on his third read motion for Senate Bill Number 568. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate Bill 568, an act relating to emergency vehicles. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from the 7th, votes aye. Senator from Newton, votes aye. By your vote of 33 aye and 0 no, you have placed upon his final passage and read the third time. Senate Bill 568. Hearing no objection, let the journal show that the titling and the perfecting motions were made and carried. Senate Bill 736, Senator from St. Francis.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 736 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from St. Francis. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. They do have it. Senator, the bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now, Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 736 be read a third time and put on its final passage. Mr. President, this is a bill we heard yesterday. It's only for St. Francis County. It lets the commissioners that are now Class 2 go to Class 1 with the consent of the majority of the cities and not have to give up the 25% of their road tax. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
You have heard the motion from the Senator from St. Francis. Does anyone desire to be heard upon that motion? The Senator from Johnson, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the maker of the bill.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield?
I yield.
He does proceed.
Only for St. Francis County.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Anyone else like to join in the discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized. Close.
Mr. President,
I close.
The senator from St. Francis has closed on his third reading motion for Senate Bill number 736. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate Bill 736, an act relating to the use of the special road and bridge tax in certain counties. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keviney, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 7th. Senator from Jackson. Is recorded. Senator from Nottoway. Votes aye. Senator from Cape. Senator from Cape. Votes aye. By your vote of 33 aye and 0 no, you have placed upon its final passage and read the third time. Senate Bill number 736, hearing no objection. Let the journal show that the titling and the perfecting motions were made and carried. Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 563, Senator from Green.
President, I move Senate Bill 563 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Green. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye. All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. They do have it. The bill's before the body.
President, I also move that Senate Bill, perfected version of Senate Bill 563, be read the third time and placed upon its final passage. This is the bill that we talked about with regard to the adjustment of the board appointment terms of the governors of Missouri State University, and just body's knowledge, there was a corrected version of the perfected bill passed out on the desks this morning when it was being printed. The amendment offered by the senator from Nottoway was inadvertently omitted, so we got that corrected and passed out this morning. So if there's any, there are no other questions, I would renew my motion.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Green. Does anyone desire to be heard upon that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Green has closed on his motion to read the third time, placed upon his final passage, Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 563. There is an emergency clause on this as well. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Corrected Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 563, an act relating to governing boards of state universities with an emergency clause. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keviney, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop,
aye.
Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Christian, votes aye. By your vote of 32 aye and 0 no, you have placed upon his third time and finally passed Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 563. Senator from Green.
President, I now move adoption of the emergency clause. Just for clarification, obviously this is an emergency in name only because we've been operating with this conflict in the statute for some time, but I think it would behoove us to go ahead and get it cleared up as quickly as possible. And I would appreciate the option of the emergency clause. Be happy to answer any questions. If there are none, I renew my motion.
The emergency clause motion is non-debatable. Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keviny, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Lunslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from Franklin, we do not have your vote. Senator from Franklin votes aye. Senator from Jefferson votes aye. By your vote of 32 aye and 1 no, you have adopted the emergency clause. Hearing no objection. Senator from Johnson objects. Senator from Green.
President?
Yes.
I move that the title be agreed to.
The senator from Green has moved that the title be agreed to. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those to the contrary say no. The ayes have it.
President, I move that the vote by which the bill passed be reconsidered.
Senator from the 13th. The senator from Green has moved that the vote by which the bill passed be reconsidered. The senator from the 13th has moved that motion to lay on the table. The question occurs on the latter motion. Those of the opinion of that motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill has been third read and finally passed. Keeping on that same calendar. Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 562, Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was probably more concerned about being ready for the next bill. Apologize. I move Senate Bill 562 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Green. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, the bill is now before the body.
President, I move that Senate Bill 562 is perfected, be passed the third time. This is the provision that we talked about with regard to correcting the kind of the well-meaning overreach that we made last year and allow the universities that are listed in the bill to go ahead and lease property for those economic development centers. And again, just to reiterate what we said yesterday, the sale of property will still need to be handled by the General Assembly. This is just specific to leasing. If there are no questions, I would renew my motion.
The senator from Green has made the motion to read the third time, placed upon his final pass of Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 562. Does anyone like to be heard upon that motion? The chair just felt like banging the gavel. Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Green has closed on his motion to dock Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 562. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 562, an act relating to the transfer of property by the governing boards of certain state universities with an emergency clause. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keaveney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from Cape Girardeau.
No.
Votes no. Senator from the first. You are recorded as an aye.
I'd like to change my aye to a no.
Your vote has now been changed to a no. By your vote of 31 aye and 2 no, the bill has received the amount necessary for passage. Senator, you are recognized on the emergency clause motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move adoption of the emergency clause. This is to allow the universities to go ahead and continue leasing properties, or begin doing it, rather than waiting until August, so we don't inadvertently upset the apple cart with the those economic development centers.
Senator from Jefferson, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Point of order.
Please state your point of order.
I don't believe in the Senate we explain our emergency clause. It's a privileged motion that we vote up or down.
Senator from Jefferson, I'm going to have to refer that point of order to the President pro tem unless you would like to withdraw your point of order.
I'll withdraw my point of order. Thank you,
Senator from Green, you've closed. Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keaveney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from the first. Senator from the first. The emergency clause motion on the senator. No. By your vote of 30 aye and 3 no, the emergency clause has been adopted. Hearing no objection. Senator from Nottoway has objected.
Mr. President, I move that the title by which the bill was adopted be agreed to.
Those of the opinion that the senator from Green has moved that the title to which the bill passed be agreed to, those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, please say aye. Those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it.
Mr. President, I request reconsideration.
The senator from Green, would you please restate that motion?
I move that the vote by which the bill passed be reconsidered.
Which bill are you requesting, Senator?
Senate Bill 563. I wonder why this is happening, Mr. President.
The senator from Green moves that the vote by which Senate Bill number 562 passed be reconsidered. Senator from the 13th. The senator from the 13th moves that motion, lays on the table. The question occurs on the latter motion. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, please say aye. Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it, and the ayes do have it. The bill has been read the third time and finally passed. Senate Bill 578, the senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 578 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Polk. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those to the contrary, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The senator from Polk, the bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 578 be third read and finally passed. Mr. President, this bill you heard yesterday on the floor, and it basically conveys property from the state to the city of Pettis County, and what they're doing is switching the fire station where they can build a new fire station in Sedalia, and it actually moves the reserve or the National Guard over to the other side of the property. And with that, Mr. President, I close.
You've heard the motion to place upon its final passage and read the third time Senate Bill number 578. Does any senator desire to be heard upon that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Close.
The senator from Polk has closed on his third read motion for Senate Bill 578. Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Senate Bill 578, an act to authorize the conveyance of property owned by the state in Pettis County to the city of Sedalia. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keviney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Boone votes aye. Senator from Clay votes aye. Senator from the 15th, could you please restate your vote? Votes aye. By your vote of 33 aye and 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority, by hearing no objection, is declared passed. Hearing no objection, the journal shall show that the titling and the perfecting motions were made and carried. Senate Bill 690, Senator from St. Francis.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 690 be taken up for a third reading, final passage.
You've heard the motion from the senator from St. Francis. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes have it. Senator, the bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 690 be read a third time and finally passed. Mr. President, this bill we heard yesterday. A few years ago, we allowed the State Patrol. We set a provision for them to sell their surplus property. Now that the Water Patrol has been folded into the State Patrol, we need to adopt it by adding watercraft motors and trailers to that surplus property so that they can dispose of those and put the money in the revolving fund. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, I would renew my motion.
You've heard the motion put forth by the senator from St. Francis. Does anyone desire to be heard upon that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized. Close.
I close.
The senator from St. Francis has closed on his third reading and final passage motion for Senate Bill number 690. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate Bill 690, an act relating to surplus highway patrol property. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keviney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson. Pierce. Ferguson. Richard. Ridgeway. Roop. Schaff. Schaefer. Schmidt. Stouffer. Wasson. Wright-Jones.
Senator from Green votes aye. Senator from Polk votes aye. Senator from Cape votes aye. Senator from Stoddard, you're recorded as an aye. By your vote of 33 aye and 0 no, you have placed upon its final passage and read the third time Senate Bill 690. Hearing no objection, let the journal show that the titling and the perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you see if there are messages from the House?
We have messages.
Would you please have those read?
Madam Secretary, please read the messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Joint Resolution 45, a joint resolution relating to the state lottery. Also, House Bill 1318, an act relating to employees of certain mental health facilities. Also, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1731, an act relating to the gaming monies. Also, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1030, an act relating to collection of state money with an emergency clause adopted. Also, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1139, an act relating to Missouri State Employees' Retirement Incentives. Also, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1106, an act relating to elections, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of resolutions.
Resolutions.
Would you recognize it? Concurrent resolutions.
The order of business is now concurrent resolutions. Senator from I can only come up with Lewis. Lewis.
Lewis works.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House concurrent resolution number 8 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Lewis. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. It is before the body. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House concurrent resolution be read a third time and finally passed. This resolution is the one that deals with the valuation of farmland. The State Tax Commission has suggested that it go up 8%. This would increase the taxes on farmland on classes 1 through 4. State Tax Commission actually has an agricultural land is handled different than commercial or residential. But the State Tax Commission every 2 years looks at this and actually suggests what the rate shall be set for these different classifications of land. We have class 1 through 8, and the State Tax Commission is suggesting that classes 1 through 4 be raised 8% this year. That's on evaluation. Class 1 through 4 is the better producing land that we have in the state. Class 5 through 8, of course, is the less productive, and agricultural land is based, the taxes are based on its productive capability. But this resolution would annul that rule that the State Tax Commission has put forward, and we have a certain timeline, meaning today, that we have to get this through to annul that rule. Now, there have been a lot of issues, and agriculture is the largest industry that we have in the state of Missouri. It really helps. I mean, it is the largest industry, and therefore it is our largest economic driver that we have in the state. Unfortunately, agriculture this last year has been faced with many difficulties, many challenges, and as we all know, a lot of disasters. From floods to too much rain, other than just floods, making fields too wet. It also, last year, had droughts around the state that hampered the production of our crops here in Missouri. Also hurt our cattle production. As we look at the agricultural production in the state, a lot of counties did suffer last year. We had counties that were actually flooded and had huge devastation that actually should have changed some of the valuation or the classifications of their ground from a class one. Maybe if it had a lot of sand piled on it, would have gone to a class seven. But those actually have to be requested by the individual landowner to the county assessor. And then they have the right to go out and look at that and readjust those classifications. And with that, Mr. President, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
The senator from Lewis has made his third read motion. Does any senator desire to be heard upon that? Senator from the first is seeking recognition. For what purpose?
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire the senator from the 13th?
Senator from the 13th, would you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the first?
He would. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding. I don't know if you were listening to the explanation of the concurrent resolution. I just had a couple of questions.
I think we need about 8 hours of questions on this one.
The unemployment rate in your district, like mine, and I guess, you know, pretty much across the state, was it a little over 8%?
That's what they say. I think it's higher than that.
What is it among construction workers?
About 30%. 30 to 40%.
We just heard from the senator from Lewis that there was some flooding, there were droughts, there were other things that made the land less productive, meaning I guess that his constituents earned less off the land. So because of that, they should have lower property taxes. I was just curious in your area where there is 30% unemployment in the construction industry, if the taxes, property taxes for your constituents were adjusted, therefore.
No, they weren't adjusted down? No, they're still paying the higher tax rates.
Still paying the higher tax rates.
And they've increased those tax rates on the residential property several times since 1996.
Right. And the last time that this farmland property was changed was 1996, correct?
That is accurate. And then 1996. 2 years ago, the tax commission came out. And the senator from the first, or from Lewis can correct me, but I think it was 44% they wanted to increase, 39%. And then we did a resolution, I believe it was 2 years ago, to deny what the tax commission used. They used some table to increase it, and here they are 2 years later saying, okay, you turned us down on 39%. Here 2 years later we're saying 8%, and we're doing a resolution.
Right. And again, I know we changed the formula a number of years ago, but, boy, if you look at, I know the districts that are in the first, the school districts that are in the first, their percentage of funding that comes from the state is still based on your local property tax and your local
participation. Is what they like to say.
Right?
Yes. You and I probably have school districts that get probably 30-35% of their funding from the state. They probably do 65-70% of their funding. And you have a few hold harmless. I think you're up to
I've got Limburg that gets about 8% from the state.
Yeah, so about 92% comes from local participation.
But less than that. And, yeah, I just, again,
there's that other argument we still have to deal with as well. I do not have any of those school districts, but the hold harmless issue. I was here in the 90s when they instituted the hold harmless, and all those school districts, some from South County and some from southwestern part of the county, would come up here and say, we need that changed because we're not getting any increases. And now when it's decrease time, everyone's stepping up and saying they don't need to be held harmless. They need to be treated like everyone else. I do not have any of those school districts that were hold harmless.
but I do not feel watching legislation pass the last 20 years, you tell them they're hold harmless when the revenues increase, and then when they decrease, you tell them, oh, by the way, you're not held harmless. I don't think that's fair.
Right.
And then I see issues like this that they want to pass a resolution to a tax commission, which is independent of the legislature by statute, to come up with these assessment rates so that everyone is treated fairly and accordingly, and then we pass resolutions that say no. I wish I had the newspaper article, but there was a recent newspaper article that farming had a good year this year, actually.
Right.
Even though there was some disasters in southwest Missouri and southeast Missouri and northwest Missouri with the flooding. I have had farmers, and I have read articles that the farming industry was one of the bright spots in the economy this year.
And I think it should be pointed out, and we serve on appropriations together. I mean, we're looking for ways to find savings in other parts of the budget so that we can get as much funding to K through 12 education as possible within the formula. Okay, so that's senators from the urban areas, okay, where in our area we've got a certificate of value, right? So,
right.
You know, our property taxes, you know, are pretty true, you know, to where they should be because of that. Okay, but we're fighting on behalf of all the other senators that are in this body to get more funding into K through 12 education that really benefits our districts, a lot less than it does the rural districts.
I think several weeks ago, and this being my last year, we were all invited to meet with our school boards in the St. Louis City and St. Louis County metropolitan area. None of us talked really on any of the issues facing all of the school districts, but it was, to me, it was a very welcome discussion to see all of us, not even discussing the issue, had the same frustrations. Some of us, like myself, being here 20 years, some of us being here 2 years, they all understood the process and where the urban school districts and what they're facing right now. And that discussion always being pushed off to another year. The value issue was an issue we brought up on this floor back when the foundation formula was redone, I believe, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Help me on that.
I think it's about three.
And actually, our regional chamber of commerce and growth association brought the amendment to myself to promote on the Senate floor, and it was turned down. But I had said at that time, we need to face up to this issue when we're dealing with the funding of school districts throughout the state, because you cannot put all the burden on certain communities throughout the state continuously.
Yeah, we're looking for a little equity.
The individual I represent and the individual you represent has a problem paying taxes, just like the individuals in northeast Missouri and the individuals in southeast, northwest, southwest, and even in the urban areas and even in the central Missouri. We're no different than anybody else. Our citizens are having difficulty paying their property taxes as well. So the idea that because we're from the urban area that we can afford the assessment to ourselves to help fund our schools is not a fair, not using the pun, but assessment. It's just not fair. And there is frustrations that's been building up. And I think that's why you're seeing the debate of the school district in some of those issues with the foundation formula not being brought forth yet, because there's a lot of problems. And I think the urban areas are tired of saying, we're going to sit back and just let it continue. And this is one example right here of dealing with the assessment issue. It's a big issue. Everybody's got to start paying their fair share.
Yeah, and our districts and our constituents are carrying an uneven and unfair burden of the load.
And this issue and this resolution continues that path.
Right.
And it's not right. How can you honestly say the tax commission, which is a separate entity, comes up with a 39%? We pass a resolution and say, no, that's not fair. 2 years later, comes back and says, okay, 8%. And they haven't been increased since 1996. And we're saying, that's not fair. Well, citizens from North St. Louis County and the citizens from South St. Louis County are saying, yeah, it's not fair to us either.
Right, right.
And I represent farmers, and I believe you represent farmers as well. I have a lot of floodplain
in North St.
Louis. Urban,
is
urban
the senator from 15th always says North, but North St. Louis County, I have a lot of floodplain along the Missouri River and along the Mississippi River, and I have a lot of farmers in my district as well.
I think I might have a few down in Oakville.
Yeah. Actually, that's how that was my first job working on a farm. You want to talk about my first job working on a farm so that they know that the Farm Bureau knows that I have sympathies for the farmer?
I always enjoy your story, Senator.
First job I had was working on a produce farm, picking tomatoes and planting tomatoes. $1.25 an hour. That was before I got involved in the labor movement. But you bring up a valid point.
All right.
And I'm sure there's a lot of other St. Louis County delegation that would like to discuss this issue as well, that we shouldn't possibly hold the floor, because if we could have the discussion we had with our school board members about 3 weeks ago, I think that discussion, here's the opportunity to start bringing it forward right now.
Well, I appreciate the inquiry. Maybe some of our other colleagues.
I think I have received a few nods that a few of the other ones are anxious.
Make some comments.
Talking about their region as well.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 24th, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Oh, I guess to inquire of the senator from St. Louis City. Four.
The senator from the 4th, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Sir, interesting conversation our colleagues had. And I think a lot of what they discussed are similar to what Senator Schmidt, Senator from the 15th and I discussed last year with his equity in the funding formula. But, you know, I kind of come at this maybe from a different angle, too, in that the system that seems to be in place by which this group values the property, the farm properties, I mean, clearly something's wrong with that system. The amount of volatility that they're trying to introduce. I mean, to have them 2 years ago suggest a 39% increase, you know, over, granted, it's an increase on a number that hasn't been increased since 1996. But to me, if I'm a farmer and it's 2009 and I know what my assessed valuation is, and then the very next year, if by chance it were to go up 39%, I think that'd be an extraordinarily difficult reality to have to contend with. Would you agree?
I would agree with that completely. I experienced that personally myself. I bought a home in a neighborhood in 1980. My first mortgage actually was 17%. So interest rates were through the roof. The neighborhood wasn't so good. The loop hadn't even been created yet. The neighborhood came back. Now it's a thriving neighborhood, and every 2 years the assessed value goes up.
But was it 39%? I mean, did you ever have to deal with that?
Not in one period. Not in one period. Over a period of time, easily.
Right. I guess, you know, my concern is, I mean, I think that we probably have both experienced during the bull market in residential properties, 8% increased, you know, one assessed valuation to the next assessed valuation. 8% is something we did experience. Quite frankly, up until this very last assessment period, we had continued to experience that kind of thing. And even for, you know, a suburban house owner to have to somehow anticipate that their property taxes would go up by 8 or 10 or 12% in any given cycle is a very difficult thing to do.
It's painful. It's painful. And in order, people really have to make a sacrifice, yeah, to recover from that.
So, kind of the concerns I have now in this situation, as our colleague suggested, it seems very reasonable that their assessed valuations would go up 8%, you know, after 15 years or so. That seems very reasonable. But nonetheless, I think the system that's in place today, I don't know, do you know, how did this come to be? Do we have the ability to change the system, or is that something they do on their own, or how does it work, you know?
Well, you know, and I think that's the part that bothers me the most about this. I think we have a very equitable system in place. We have a board that offers their recommendation over some discussion
It keeps the politics out of it. And then it cuts, and then after all that process, we inject the politics.
But don't you think maybe, I mean, in some respects, we might have given them too much power to the extent that they could actually put forward a proposed increase of 39% in any given cycle. There's a side of me that thinks that it's great that they do it the way they do it, and to the extent that we have some kind of legislative oversight of them coming to be, it might make greater sense for us to suggest to them, look, keep doing what you're doing. You have the power and authority, discretion to make these recommendations, but maybe we put a cap on, you know, any biennial period that maybe they can't have it go up more than 5% or 8% or 10%, some number. Because clearly, again, what's not a contention today is whether or not 8% is reasonable or is unreasonable. Clearly, the 39% number of 2 years ago was extraordinary in that a farmer couldn't plan for that kind of increase, and for to give that board the ability to even recommend such a high increase, do you think maybe we should look at that between now and the next time they do it and try to put a limitation as to what that increase can be?
Well, I wouldn't mind taking a look at that, but if we're going to look at that, we're going to have to severely limit the power of the legislature to override their recommendation.
So in exchange for it, if we said, look, we'll follow your recommendation to the extent that it, in a two-year period it's never more than a 5% increase, I mean, in exchange for us not having to approve.
Or it takes a three-quarter
majority or something like that. I mean, to me, if I'm a farmer, I mean, I probably want to see that type of reform occur. Because there's something else that's going on. I didn't grow up on a farm, as many of us here did, but I had, actually, ironically enough, I had a lot of my family members own property in Jefferson County growing up, so we used to go to the farm all the time. And I'm old enough to where getting out, and in addition to that, we'd go to Pacific. There's a bunch of, my family built St. Joseph's Hospital, which is in Pacific, Missouri, and my grandfather and his brothers. And as a result of that, they all bought property in Pacific, and that was back when you take 66 to get out there. So it was country. It's not country now. But, you know, I think the ability of farmers to be able to plan from year after year to try to understand what their assessed value is going to be is an issue. Now, my point I was going to make is the farmers I know will all tell you that it's a tough, tough life, and they're dirt poor while they're doing it, and they've got to deal with all the things our farmers had to deal with this last year, and floods and wind and all these things. But then they all kind of smile at you and say, we're dirt poor our whole lives, and we die rich because we've got great farmland, and to the extent that farmland goes up in value. There's a new component to the life experience of farmers just in the last 5 or 10 years. And this is a group of people that I know a little bit, and I know what's happened these last 5 years is you've seen a huge influx of capital going to primarily hedge funds, which the hedge fund people have gone out into the farming communities and started to drive up the price of farmland.
Farmland.
Dramatically. So my big concern for farmers, if this commission continues to have this power and authority to set a 39% price increase, that the day may come where if this continues, I mean, I know that some of the senators that were quoting me were some recent, the top grade of farmland where it has started to trade, and, you know, it traded at $9,000 an acre, which a farmer will tell you, I can't make money at $9,000. And then it trades at $11,000 an acre, and they say, I can't make money. And then it trades at $13,000 an acre, and they say, I can't farm land at $13,000 an acre and make money. Well, my concern for the farming community would be this continues because it's hedge fund people buying up the land, and somewhere along the way, that commission says, you know what, this top farmland is at $20,000 an acre. We can't keep it at 1996 prices. We've got to adjust it higher to at least get closer. Maybe they come back one of these years and they say we need a 50 or 75% increase. And maybe that increase itself is even after the increase, it reflects less than half of the market value. And suddenly, that's where the assessed values are. And then farmland has happened to it what we know has happened to all the other forms of real estate in the last 5 years, which is the bubble burst and collapses, and then suddenly they're over-assessed. The assessed value of their properties are over the market value. The commission can't adjust quickly enough, and we have a similar situation we have right now in St. Louis County. So that's the concern I have for these farmers.
You know, it used to be when I first... I used to work for a commodities futures firm, so I was very close to them, to agricultural markets. It used to be farmland was valued at a farmland valuation was a function of the price of the crops. Soybeans go from $8 to $18, the price of the farmland goes up. Soybeans drop, the price of the farmland goes down. Now we've got hedge funds, which have only been around probably 15 or 20 years.
But all these things are interrelated, because what's going on is, you know, we as a country have this zero interest rate policy, okay? So what that means is that financial institutions could go out and borrow money for close to zero. Well, two things. First of all, zero interest rate policy is what causes the dramatic depreciation of our currency. To the extent that all of our, you know, grains and things that are produced on farm are priced on dollars in the world market, that drives the higher price for all those, you know, all the grains and corn, all the things. You know, farmers will tell you that they've never seen higher prices. And there's some, to some extent, it has to do with, you know, just the global economy's become easier to trade in, and you've got demand for products out of parts of the world that you didn't have before. But a bigger part of that is just the very fact that the dollar's depreciated so much, it's made all of these other commodities in dollars priced at a much higher level. So that drives up the price. So it's ironic that zero interest rate policy is what drives grain prices higher, which then somehow, I mean, some farmers would say, maybe at $8,000 or $9,000 or $10,000 an acre, I can kind of make money as long as those prices stay there. And it's all interrelated, because the reasons that the hedge funds can turn around and go out and buy the farmland at $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 an acre is because they can borrow close, so that they're going to leverage their capital. Right. You know, they might get $10, $50, $100 million of equity, and they'll turn around and leverage at 4, 5, or 10 to 1, and then they'll take that borrowed money at zero, and they'll go out and they'll drive those prices higher. And this is what caused the residential housing crisis is a series of very complicated things. But what didn't necessarily happen was that you had institutional investors work to drive those prices higher, because you couldn't buy one individual property at a time. But with farmland, you can. And again, I've got good friends of mine. They farm out of Pittsfield, Illinois. It's just across from Louisiana. And, you know, they started reporting back to me 2 or 3 years ago that farmland was starting to trade at prices that a farmer could never make money on it. And then ultimately this money was coming out of Chicago, it was coming out of these institutions. And so, you know, get back to this power that this commission has to set an increase in its assessed valuation. I think, and I don't know if you had the good fortune to have the St. Louis County Assessor stop by your office yesterday.
I did not. No, I did not.
So I did. I always enjoy his company.
But he did catch me out there.
You know. Okay, well, very good. Well, he and I had a, you know,
he was my roommate last year.
Oh, very good. Very good. So, you know, when he won that office, I actually went out of my way right as he was taking over that office to sit down with him, and I knew he was familiar with the funding formula, and we had a good conversation about we need to somehow sync up, like equalize, you know, how St. Louis County values properties and how even neighboring Collier counties value properties, Jefferson County, St. Charles County, and how it really does distort the funding formula. So anyway, so, you know, it was great for him to come by and visit and catch up. But, you know, if his office has the power to assess, they've got to make sense of their assessments. But I can't imagine if coming out of that office were 35% or 39% increases. It would
be devastating. And now it's an elected office. That's right. Not going to be a popular thing with your populace.
And hope maybe that's what we lacked in St. Louis County, that a lot of the other county assessors are elected, so they hold themselves, you know, accountable in each election cycle. But still, I'm thinking of this. I don't think I have too many farmers in my district.
Oh.
The farmers I have probably are farming something illegal under their house or something. But I'm coming at this from their perspective. You know, I think that this volatility in this assessment is something that we're not, by allowing that potentiality to occur, I think maybe we're overlooking where they might be on this issue.
I would agree with that. I mean, even back to the old model before hedge funds, to take some of the, I mean, as you well know, the commodities market are extremely volatile. So if it's based on a function of the price of crops, we don't want the farmers to have to go through that.
I mean, so far they've had zero volatility. It's been the same price, right? So
right.
It's the same assessed value for 15 years, and so maybe they might counter by saying, well, look, there's no volatility, so, but I just have to assume that somewhere along the way that the public will come to further understand the fact that how we value our personal property, our residential property, commercial property, farming property, it's a big part of how we decide to allocate those monies that we have available to us specific to K-12 education. And I have to imagine at some point in time, even this idea that St. Louis County and Jackson County has a different assessment process than do other counties, I think very slowly the public's coming to understand that. But I think at some point it's logical to assume that the public may start to very much appreciate that and ask that there be equalization amongst the process of assessment. But, you know, in addition to that train of thought, though, is this idea the public might come to understand the fact that, you know, we're assessing farming prices going back 15, 16, to the extent that this doesn't happen this year, it could be 20, 25 years before a reassessment occurs, and then I'm afraid that it could put the farming community in a really dangerous spot, and that they would, you know, there'd be a lot of political will to sync up farm prices after a 20-year period.
Well, yeah, I mean, just like everything else, when you hold the pendulum back, when it finally swings, it probably swings too far the other way.
Yeah, too far.
So, yeah. If you can get some kind of equity and avoid that huge pendulum swing.
Yeah.
I think that would be in everybody's best interest.
I mean, if it were to occur that, you know, this increase were to take place where, you know, their assessed valuation would increase 8% from 1996 assessments, I don't think, if that were to happen, I don't think that just should be the end of all this. I really do hope that we seriously consider, I guess it's every other year this happens, so we probably have next session to focus on this, to figure out a way to make sure that to get, like right now the volatility is zero, right? There's been no change. And so if we go 8% one time over 15 years, that's over 15 years, that's very little volatility too.
Right, right.
But by the recommendation this commission made just 2 years ago, that 39% recommendation, it shows you the potential for extreme volatility. And I hope we figure out a way to maybe cap it to where it's, you know, a reasonable, never more than 2% over 2 years or some number. But I think the farming community would very much appreciate having a greater sense of certainty of what that increase could ultimately be.
Without belaboring it too much with you, but am I hearing you right? I've got a free market Republican advocating for caps?
Yeah, you know, that's true. I mean, there's something to that. And maybe that means I can leverage that conversation with something like, never should my residential real estate assessment go up more than 1% in any given year.
Okay.
I guess if it were truly a free market and we had a process where every person that assesses every property, regardless of farming, residential, commercial, that every single assessor used exactly the same process, and that the assessed values most accurately reflected the actual market prices. So this is where a free market person would want to go towards. If that's a choice, yeah, I'll take that.
I would agree with that.
Now, the reason that I'm willing to consider as a free market person a cap on something is for me to suggest that we don't have that system. It's not a free market system. It's a system where, you know, 113 county assessors decide how they're going to assess the properties that they're asked to assess.
In their own specific county, not even statewide.
Using their own, you know, agreed upon determination and formula. And I think a lot of them would have a hard time suggesting to you that the numbers that they come up with that actually reflect where the market is for that property. It's some other system. So given that we're not going to go to an entirely free market process, then the next best thing to do, and I'm glad you brought that up actually, because maybe in conjunction with this we can look at putting a similar cap onto residential properties and commercial properties, because you and I both know how hard it is to deal with those 5%, 10%, and 15% increases year over year.
Right. And I would be more than happy to have that discussion with anybody that wants to have it.
Good.
I think everybody really wants to pay their fair share. I would like to hope that everybody wants to pay their fair share. But
well, that's not a very good term to use. I think the fair share thing, you want to go talk about fair share. You're not going to get me to agree to fair share. That's an entirely different discussion. But I think that what is fair is to say, I agree as a citizen to allow you to assess the value of what I hold, and then by a vote of the people, and that's how it happens, right, at the local level, if you, as the local community wants to wrap a tax around the true market value of my property, then I'm okay with that. Unfortunately, I think that what we have is a complete distortion of how one person looks at a property and how it assesses its value to the next person, to the next person. And it would all be okay if it was something that just happened at the county level. But where the whole thing gets messed up is that you take all those combinations and all that data from all those individual assessment processes, and you pull it back into the funding formula, and you use those numbers to determine, it's not a fair share that they use in the language, it's the ability to pay, right?
It's the
ability of a local community to fund properly an education for a K-12 student.
And the system that we have now, if you follow that same logic, it pretty much incentivizes counties to keep their assessed valuation.
And that would be okay if every county agreed to use the same system to underassess. I mean, it's interesting because if every single residential and commercial property holder, if their properties were being assessed at 1996 prices today, I mean in 2012, at least then it would be everybody be on the same platform. Only to the extent that they actually use the same process.
Right.
You know,
so
that's not the system we find ourselves in. And you know, I guess what I'm suggesting with this idea about figuring out a way to decrease the volatility that farmers might experience is that until we get to the perfect system, that I think all of us that own property would appreciate the ability to control the year-over-year changes of our assessed valuation.
Well, or just to anticipate it,
yeah.
This is the worst-case scenario. This is what I'm looking at. This is good. What I'm going to pay in tax or what I could possibly pay in tax could dictate whether what crop did I plant? Is it $2 corn? Well, I don't know. We haven't had $2 corn in quite some time. But, is it soybeans? Is it corn? Is it wheat? Whatever it is.
Right.
Or am I just leaving it fallow and put it in the CRP? But at least they can plan their business. That's their livelihood. And nobody wants to put anybody out of business. Everybody's trying to get, increased productivity. But people have to be able to plan.
Right. No, and the system that's in place now just doesn't allow for that. Well, look, I appreciate the inquiry. I'm going to inquire some other senators and get their thoughts. And thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 24th.
I'd like to inquire the senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th. Senator from the 10th, do you yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thanks for the inquiry, Senator. Have you been listening to the conversation the Senator and I from the 4th were having?
I'm going to be completely honest. I didn't hear a lot of it because I've been engaged in some conversations on some other issues. What were the highlights?
Well, the we're the senator from the 4th is, you know, an urban suburban. I'm an urban suburban senator, and so the natural inclination would be to think that we would have issue with the fact that, you know, how we assess our property valuations and how that impacts funding formula, that would be the direction we might take on this resolution, given the fact that this process has not allowed for an increase in the assessed value of farmland since 1996. But that really wasn't so much what our focus was. You know, our focus was, if anything, from the perspective of farmers themselves, and you as a senator who might have that rare opportunity, if things hold, to represent urban, suburban, and rural all in one legislative career. I don't know if anybody else, I guess the senator from St. Louis City had that opportunity 10 or 15 years ago. But anyway, you know, my concern is the farmers. My concern is that this system in place today allowed for the commission to put forward a 39% increase 2 years ago, which didn't go on, has allowed them to put forward a recommended 8% increase today. And I just think it's too much volatility. And we were talking about whether after this debate occurs, that maybe we can look at putting a cap on that, you know, assessment. What do you think of that?
I think that makes complete sense. I actually, long before I ever even considered running for office, I was a student at the law school in Kansas City, and I took a legislation class, and that was my first real stab at drafting legislation. And we actually worked with our professor, who's now the Secretary of State in Kansas, Chris Kobach, and drafted some legislation that was similar for the Kansas side, so that there can be some predictability, frankly, Senator, as far as what folks can expect. A yearly cap seems to make sense. Now, we can't do that, I guess, because this is a House concurrent resolution.
Right.
This wouldn't be something we could do here today, but there's no reason why we couldn't talk about that moving forward.
So what did that Kansas legislation end up looking like? Did it kind of give a check to that commission to, was it a cap to the annual increase?
I don't remember, Senator, that Kansas had the situation where they would make a recommendation and then the legislature had it in their hands to actually vote on it one way or the other. It seemed to me that the county folks had a lot to do with what was going on in Kansas at the time, and the Kansas legislature, and I never heard whether it passed or not, mm-hmm. but the bill that we drafted basically just put in a cap for all property tax issues, whether it be commercial, agriculture, personal, so that people could have some predictability from year to year.
Yeah, no, it's amazing to come to learn about the tremendous disparity is not the word I'm looking for, but just the fact that, you know, all 113 counties can choose to assess property however they see fit. There's no statewide one single process. They can all decide to, you know, assess residential property, commercial property, in this instance, farming property. A different body decides how to assess the valuation of farm property. And then we take all of that information and data and pull it into a funding formula discussion that assumes that it all is equal in meaning. And, you know, there's just so many flaws in this process. And I think at the end of the day, the people that are hurt the most by all these flaws are our citizens, actually.
Absolutely. The one question that I didn't quite understand, and as this was presented over the last few weeks, was it my understanding, and did you hear this as well, that the original recommendation was for something much higher than 8%? Was it?
Well, what it was is 2 years ago, it was recommended that the assessment go up 39%.
Okay.
And that's when I talk about volatility. That's the thing that scares me. If I'm a farmer, the fact that my assessed valuation could go, you know, think about it. So in 2009, my assessed valuation is what it is, you know, whatever the 1996 valuation is. And then the next year, it's going to go up by 39% if that recommendation were to actually happen. That, to me, that's not putting their interests, you know, first and foremost.
Yeah, that to me seems to be a volatility that I would not want. And then the other thing I didn't really understand was the issue of the different classifications. This House concurrent resolution that's in front of us today, which classifications does this cover?
Well, it's specific to the first four classifications. I guess there are eight or nine. I'm not sure the total number. But another part of the conversation I have with Senator from the 4th concerned, you know, a new participant in that arena, that the most productive, those first, especially I think the first two classifications of the most productive, the most fertile land, there's been a big influx of new buyers, and it's coming from hedge funds. So it started about 3 or 4 years ago. You know, there's this combination of the zero interest rate policy, which drives to lower the value of our dollar on the global markets. That's a big part of what drives the price of the things that are produced on farms, you know, grain and soy and all that. They're driving those to record prices because of the zero interest rate policy. The zero interest rate policy allows hedge funds to borrow money almost at zero and then to leverage their equity capital 3 and 4 and 5 and 10 fold and then go out and start buying up, in particular, these first two levels of the most, you know, productive farmland and driving the prices higher.
That's really interesting. I hadn't heard that. And so, I mean, we're not exactly talking about then farmland that's owned by what we would typically think as just kind of the husband and wife farming team. They've been working on a small farm for years. We're talking about a lot bigger.
And think of the challenges is that the family farmer. Okay, so the family farmer, and you'll talk to them and they'll tell you, oh my God, I heard property sold for $8,000 an acre or $9,000 or $13,000 an acre. And I have friends of mine that are family farmers in Pittsfield. And properties started changing hands 3 or 4 years ago in their part of the world where they, you know, this is a third generation, they look at each other and say, we can't make a profit at that price per acre. What's causing this to happen? And what's causing this to happen are these institutional buyers. Institutional buyers like this, they're willing to pay $9,000, $10,000, $11,000 an acre because they're looking to sell it at $15,000, $18,000, and $20,000 an acre. They're not doing it because they think it's going to be a productive thing. They're doing it because they think they can just drive the prices higher. My concern for the farmers is that that goes on much longer than one would hope, and that at the end of the day, maybe a property that in 2002 was at $6,000 an acre, maybe by 2018 is trading at $25,000 an acre, and at that point, this commission says, wait a second, we're at 1996 prices. We've gone from $2,000 an acre to $25,000 an acre. We've got to reassess this at $12,000 or $13,000 or $14,000 an acre. That happens, the assessment goes up, and then the whole thing collapses just like what happened in residential and commercial real estate. So, I mean, I'm really concerned for that happening.
Well, it sounds to me like we need to sit down and take a holistic view of how all of these things connect. I mean, we're not just talking about, you know, the volatility and the unpredictability of the farmers who are dealing with this, but we're also talking about funding for our foundation formula and others, and it seems to me that it's time we have a really grown-up conversation about what we can do moving forward so that we don't have this sort of thing going on. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, I mean, to me, there are a lot of, I mean, our job first and foremost here is to protect the citizens of Missouri, to put them in a situation where they can just manage their lives day to day, year to year, and to decrease the uncertainty in their lives to the greatest extent possible. I mean, you can't make bad things go away, but what you can do is you can lay out a foundation of process that they know they can plan their lives around. And, you know, I'm of the school that, you know, the less we do, the less involved we are, the easier to understand the process. You know, I think that all those people in the state of Missouri that pay property taxes, if they came to understand all the different methodologies that are used and how they're not in sync and how they're so different, and then if they also came to understand how that, you know, almost directly impacts what goes on with those parts of government that they're most willing to support, things like K-12 education, I think they'd come down here and tell us that we're not doing our job.
I think I agree with you, Senator, and you pointed out that I am going to be in a unique situation if these current maps hold moving forward. I will be in a situation where, frankly, the folks that elected me, who sent me to this body, might be opposed to an elimination or I guess a waiving of this tax increase. But the folks that I'm going to represent possibly next year might be in favor of it. And so I'm going to be in kind of a unique situation, and I'm glad that you're bringing this up because it's something that I'd like to keep my eyes on over the next 2 years and participate in that process. I think that ultimately it's probably something that we need to look at statewide and see how we can all work together to do the most equitable process possible.
Senator, I appreciate the inquiry. I'm going to sit down. I've just about said everything I had to say at least twice. And there are a few people still here, so I'm going to sit down and see if other of our colleagues have interest in weighing in on this this concept.
Sounds good. Thanks, Senator.
We're on the motion of the senator from Lewis. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you seek recognition? Senator from the 13th is not in the chamber. Senator from the 13th.
Yeah, Mr. President, I'd like to inquire the senator from the 11th.
Senator from the 11th, do you yield the senator from the 15th?
Yes, I do, happily.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
I would deem it an honor, Mr. President. Have we had an inquiry this year yet, you and I?
Very briefly, I think early on.
Was it related to the Commerce Clause in any way?
Commerce Clause hasn't come up, nor has the Northwest Ordinance.
One of the things that I wanted to follow up on...
that was pretty good. We locked him in.
Yeah. Senator from Polk is wanting to do something here. And he needs to do a quorum call
or something, right, to get, you know, all that or whatever.
Right. Introduction of a guest or something. Right.
I get the issue. And you know, the reason I want to just kind of say this is I'm always happy to help my colleagues about something that they feel passionate about. And I would just say, you, in the manner that you have been in the Senate, have earned that. You know, because I respect the issue involved here, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, this is one of these things where I think there's probably a lot of disagreement about this issue, quite frankly. And it's genuine disagreement, and it transcends party, you know, and it goes to that kind of thing. But I just hope some people, I hope who have been up in this debate, realize that, you know, this is why you don't have the Senate do a lot of stuff and get a lot of stuff done right away.
Yeah, and I'm
just telling you, this is a real serious issue.
Right.
And you and the senator from 24th last year genuinely brought up the same thing that maybe the senator from 13th and I have years ago and the senator from 10th, which is, with all due respect, and I'm term limited and I can say this, you know, I hear all the, and you're going to probably regret, but I'm going to just speak real frankly. You know, we're involved in all these genuine discussions about prevailing wage and all this other stuff, and I'll just tell you, it's all connected. You know, I hear this stuff from people in these discussions, and I'll just tell you about them because it deals with what we're dealing with. Are you trying to end the inquiry already?
No. No, I was going to ask a question offline here, but I didn't know.
I just want you to, because there's a genuine thing, which is the reality of this state is there's a balance and there's a partnership, and we're all part of the same state. And there's some things that people do in the cities and some people do in the suburbs. And guess what? There's a balance there. There's not as much money in rural Missouri.
Right, right.
And you try to create this balance, and sometimes there's imbalances in that system. But I hear all this stuff about prevailing wage and, we have to pay this rate. And I'm sure that's a genuine problem, and I'm sure we can get to it. But the reality is when I hear, we're having to pay this thing, they don't realize you and I in the suburbs and the center from 10th, we're sometimes the economic engine. And we help pay for those schools in rural Missouri. And I got news for you. I'm happy to do it.
Yeah.
Because that's what being a taxpayer and resident of Missouri, because I understand there's balance and there's always going to be unfairness and there's always going to be things like that because we're all part of the same state.
Right.
And guess what? Take it beyond that. We're all part of the same country.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to go off like that, but I just wanted to tell you, I get completely the issue coming from Independence, Missouri, that, you know, suburbs were on the verge of being held harmless. We're in whatever little dot in Don Thalhuber's office. I don't know where my school district is at. But I get the whole thing because I've talked to the center from 13th for years. The suburbs and the cities help subsidize rural Missouri. I got news for you. I have no problem with that. Good. If it means that more kids get educated, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
And so, you know, look, you guys have identified there are probably genuine problems with how rural Missouri handles taxes compared to how suburbs handle taxes. You know, you and I, as taxpayers back home, at a certain point, we don't have a lot of say about whether our taxes go up or down, right? We can go as voters sometimes and turn down something, but you had a bill, your first bill that you ever called me about was about electing, you know, because
right.
you were trying to address a problem of maybe something that had gotten out of hand or how the county was handling things. I don't know all the issues. We had a different experience in Jackson County. But I didn't want to ramble, but I didn't want this opportunity to miss. I want people to understand this is one of these disputes in the Senate. This is why you have a Senate.
Well, and
it's
and
not a partisan body.
Right.
There's a genuine disagreement and agreement that transcends party.
And I also want to make clear that just because somebody stands up on a bill and asks questions
right.
doesn't mean they're trying to kill a bill.
Right.
And I think, you know, sometimes there is a culture here where we're looking for somebody to blame on something, and if somebody stands up and has some questions that they're trying to kill and all the parade of terribles that follow. I'm not trying. I just have I just have some genuine questions about how we do this. And piggybacking on the center from the 24th, I have a concern as somebody that comes from a family of farmers a couple generations ago, okay? As a guy who lives in suburbia. Now the center from Polk's Head turned around so fast when I said that. But everybody likes to pigeonhole you. Oh, you're a city guy. Or you're a rural guy.
No.
But you know what? All this stuff works together, and I don't think it's fair for the farmers to every 2 years have to deal and fight, you know, if they think it's unfair, a 37% increase or a 44% increase. And why? Why is that? Can we deal with some of those root issues? Is it because we don't have a predictable system?
Right.
We don't have something that's fair. We have a system right now that deals with it every 2 years. It's a tax commission. And does that mean because somebody asked questions about it that they're trying to... I think because what the Center from the 24th started to touch on is, look, and this is unrelated but related, hold harmless districts out there, okay? You're never going to get any new money, never going to get cut, okay? So what happens is if you're never going to get any new money from the state, the only way you're going to build a building, the only way you're going to hire new teachers, the only way you're going to reduce the classroom size is to go to local taxpayers and ask them for more, okay? And the community that I represent usually says yes, okay? But what that means is 93% of those dollars that are spent for a kid in Kirkwood come from local taxpayers. About $300 comes from the state, okay? And now, here we are at the end of the phase-in, and what is the ask? $60 million from districts that have never gotten any new money to districts that have gotten money through the phase-in. I think that's incredibly unfair. And I think it's what we do here is we pick something we don't like or that there's votes on, and we say we're going to isolate that as the fix. Well, what about dealing with issues like the dollar value modifier, the small school fund? I mean, all these sorts of things that play into the formula that we got to have a comprehensive view of this thing. And what we do is we throw something out here and then we do something here. When are we going to deal with this issue about assessments statewide? When are we going to deal with the formula? Well, we can't do that this year. We don't have time. Well, when is the time? 3 years ago, I was on this floor. We were talking about the super hold harmless deal. Well, we just do it this year. Okay. We'll deal with the formula issue later. Well, here we are. And so I'm not trying to pull the formula debate into this, but I got news for you. The bill that the senator from Johnson has is fatally flawed. Fatally flawed. And until we have an issue or a frank discussion on how we can look at the formula in its entirety, that bill is going to have a really hard time.
Now, the formula is very appropriate to this debate because what my point is, this is all connected. It's all connected.
Yep.
It's part of being a state. Rural has a different balance than suburban. Urban does different things to that. They all have different needs.
Well, and I got to tell you, I have one Kirkwood School District, my home school, North Glendale, is out on the Grand Staircase. It's the school where my kids will go to school. So I'm going to go get my picture taken.
Okay.
And I don't know what's going to happen out here, if there are any more questions or there's not. I'm not trying to kill. I just think at some point we got to talk about this stuff. And, you know, whether this is the right number, whether it should be zero, whether it should be higher, I think people just got to have an earnest discussion, because if the Senate doesn't talk about this stuff, nobody's going to talk about this stuff.
So. Right, and that's my point. But I think it's a genuine inquiry to have that we really don't have when we have these resolutions that just turn down something. Right. We don't get to the core issues. We don't get to the mechanical part, the contraption that is creating this problem. Right. So, anyway,
Thank you. Thank you, Senator.
We're on the motion of the Senator from Lewis. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I close.
Senator from Lewis moves that the House concurrent resolution 8 be adopted. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
House concurrent resolution 8, a concurrent resolution relating to the disapproval of the Missouri State Tax Commission's recommendations regarding the value for each grade of agricultural and horticultural land based on productive capability. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keviney, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 9th. Votes no. Senator from the 13th. Votes no. Senator from the 7th. Votes no. Senator from Jefferson, sorry. Votes no. Senator from Andrew. Votes aye. Senator from Stoddard. Madam Secretary, please call the absentees.
Okay. Senator Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Engler, Justice, Kehoe, Lamping, Pierce, Schmidt.
Senator from Johnson. Votes aye. By your vote, 19 aye, 8 no, the resolution is adopted. Hearing no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from Jefferson.
Like unanimous consent to introduce some special guests.
Hearing no objection.
Up in the upper gallery, we have Representative Ron Casey. He's here with, I would imagine, some people from my district, but I'm not sure. Festus High School, and I'd like the body to make them feel welcome.
Would the guests from Jefferson please rise, and the body make them feel very welcome. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will be the order of business of reports of standing committees.
We're on the order of business of reports of standing committees. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have committee reports from your committee on gubernatorial appointments. Copies have been distributed. They're on the desk of each senator, and I've asked
Please
for a waiver of the reading.
Forward. Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you again, Mr. President. I request unanimous consent of the Senate to vote on the above reports in one motion.
Heard the motion of the Senator from Stoddard. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senator from Stoddard.
Mr. President, I move the committee reports be adopted and the Senate do give its advice and consent to the appointments and any of the reappointments.
You've heard the motion from Stoddard. Any senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator from Clay.
Yes, Mr. President, to inquire the Senator from Stoddard.
Senator from Stoddard, do you yield?
Certainly.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I just picked this up. So it's the one that's dated February 29, 2012. Right?
This was appointees that we went through the gubernatorial appointments committee just yesterday.
Okay. Just so that I know, we've got the Missouri Board of Nursing Home Administrators, the Health and Educational Facilities Authority of the State of Missouri. I don't know what that is. Do you know what that is?
What?
Do you know what the Health and Educational Facilities Authority of the State of Missouri is?
Well, Mr. Tom George, who is a former state rep, was the one, I think, that was put up as an appointee. And, you know, that deals with facilities, state facilities that deal with health and hospitals.
Got it. And part of the reason I'm asking is because I've got a bill that makes boards and commissions that are not already subject to advice and consent of the Senate to be placed under advice and consent of the Senate. So these are ones that already have advice and consent.
That's correct.
Very workforce.
My understanding, you have a piece of legislation that will bring more boards and committee appointees to the Senate for its advice and consent and confirmation. Is that correct,
Sam? Correct. Right.
Because there are some now that, because statutorily the language is not in there that says they come before the gubernatorial appointments committees, this governor and other governors have actually not brought these appointees before this body.
Yes, that's right. And I was just looking at the list that we have here, and, you know, in some instances we'd say that, well, maybe some of these things aren't very important, but at the time that they were implemented, people believed that it was a reasonable check and balance to put advice and consent of the Senate to them. And so it only makes sense to me that we should make them all uniform. And especially in this era of term limits, I question how many people really understand all the boards and commissions that we have out there.
Well, there's hundreds.
There's
hundreds. Definitely a lot of thousands of appointees, and all of them play a very important role. Well, you know, I say they play an important role. They should play an important role on the functioning of the services that the state provides the citizens.
But they all cost us money because we always pay at least expenses, even if it's an unpaid position. And many of them dispense taxpayer dollars and are responsible for rules and regulation writing and dispensing taxpayer dollars. So it just seems appropriate that we put people on notice and this legislature that we need to get a handle on all the boards and commissions that are out there. And one way that we can do it is by placing everything, just like we're dealing with today, we give everybody a fair opportunity to say, okay, how far do the fingers of our government extend? Who's on these boards and commissions, and what are they doing? So, Senator, I don't see anything that's of concern necessarily to me on this particular list. I don't even think there's a paid position on there.
Don't think there is. I was looking through that, Senator. I don't think there is a paid position. We've got the Truman State University Board of Governors. We have the Mental Health Commission, Missouri Workforce Investment Board, Missouri Fire Safety Education Advisory Commission, and Nursing Home Administrators Board. So, no, I don't think there's anything in there where people are actually receiving a fee or pay for serving.
But one of the things where the taxpayer money can be affected by these boards and commissions, for example, the Fire Safety Board, if they make a recommendation that a fire vehicle be dispatched every single time that a police call is received, then all of a sudden the number of calls that a fire district responds to jumps dramatic,
Golly.
Let the Senate come to order.
Well, maybe you got gong, Senator.
I think I did. It's a gong show.
See, Senator.
Senator, maybe he's just like the senator from the second that was presiding earlier. Maybe the presiding officer just wanted to hit the gavel.
That's what he or she's there for, to maintain decorum and order in the Senate.
That's right.
I appreciate it.
Well, at any rate, if they change their, if that fire safety board should happen to change their recommendations as to when a fire vehicle should be dispatched, it can artificially and immediately raise the number of calls, and that could be used to say, to justify a tax increase. So, I mean, it really does impact the working lives of real Missourians and our tax load potentially, and certainly the amount of money we have. I don't see anything controversial. I'm probably just going to raise this from time to time with regard to the boards and commissions, because I'm just not sure we've got a complete – we probably someplace have a complete list of all the boards and commissions, but my goodness, we're dealing with a lot of them right now, and it just seems like we need to deal with all of them. Appreciate the inquiry, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
We're on the motion of the senator from Stoddard. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I renew my motion.
Senator from Stoddard renews his motion. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the – we're still on reports of standing committees.
Senate is on the order of reports of standing committees. Senator from Clay.
Yes, Mr. President, your Committee on Health, Mental Health, Seniors, and Families has a report.
Please send that report forward. And when it arrives, Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Health, Mental Health, Seniors, and Families, to which was referred Senate Bill 711, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully, Senator Ridgway, Chairman.
Senator from St. Francis.
On financial and government organization elections has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, when it arrives at the dais, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Financial and Governmental Organizations and Elections, to which was referred Senate Bill 722, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Senate Bill 726 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Senate Bill 623 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Senate Bill 569 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully, Senator Engler, Chairman.
Senator from Saline.
Committee on Transportation has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation, to which was referred Senate Bill 607, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 714 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Senate Bill 743 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Stouffer, Chairman.
Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on the Judiciary has a report.
For its just report, please send it forward, Senator. Please read the report, Madam Secretary.
Mr. President, your Committee on Judiciary and Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence, to which was referred Senate Bill 689, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully, Senator Goodman, Chairman.
Senator from the 2nd District of St. Charles County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Small Business and Insurance has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward. When it arrives, Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Small Business, Insurance, and Industry, to which was referred Senate Bill 620, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Roop, Chairman.
Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on General Laws has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward. Please read the report, Madam Secretary.
Mr. President, your Committee on General Laws, to which was referred Senate Bill 744, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully, Senator Cunningham, Chairman.
Senator from the 1st.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Governmental Accountability has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send the report forward. Please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Governmental Accountability, to which was referred Senate Bill 693, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 650 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Joint Resolution 48 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the joint resolution do pass. Respectfully, Senator Lemke, Chairman.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Appropriations has a report.
Please send that report forward, Senator, and please, Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Appropriations, to which was referred Senate Joint Resolution 50, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the joint resolution do pass. Respectfully, Senator Schaefer, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Please send a report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 699, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Concurrent Resolution 24 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the concurrent resolution do pass. Also, Senate Concurrent Resolution 21 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the concurrent resolution do pass. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go back to the order of business of introduction of bills.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, on behalf of the Senator from Cole, I have a bill.
Please send the bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 908, introduced by Senator Kehoe, an act relating to the crime of trespass.
Senator from the 7th.
Well, Mr. President.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 909, introduced by Senator Cunningham et al., an act relating to records of regulatory conducted activity.
Would you like to explain your bill?
No explanation.
Senator from Clay.
I have two bills, and I would, they're sent up in the order that I want them filed, but for the Secretary of the Senate, I would like the one that has the purple sticky note on it to be filed second, please.
Say please send your bills forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bills.
Senate Bill 910, introduced by Senator Ridgeway, an act relating to the use of the state website domain name by political subdivisions.
Madam Secretary, Senator from Clay, would you like to explain that bill?
Mr. President, I think you were trying to elevate my position.
Sorry about that.
It's just an issue that was brought to my attention by former state representative Marilyn Russman.
Madam Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill 911, introduced by Senator Ridgeway, an act relating to employee social security numbers.
Senator from Clay.
Mr. President, this bill is filed as my last bill that I'll be filing in my legislative career on behalf of the first constituent, otherwise known as my husband. Thank you.
Thanks. We're on the order bill of business of introduction of bills. Senator from Jefferson.
I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 912, introduced by Senators McKenna and Green, an act relating to transient guest taxes in a certain city.
On the order of business of introduction of bills. Introduction of bills. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of concurrent resolutions.
On the order of business of concurrent resolution, Senator from Clay.
I have a concurrent resolution.
Please send your concurrent resolution forward. Would you like you want that to be printed in the journal?
Mr. President, I believe I'll get instruction from the Secretary of the Senate, but I believe that this one is handled as a bill.
What's that? Would you like to explain that?
Yes, Mr. President, this is the constitutional provision in the United States Constitution to bind a constitutional convention for the purposes of a balanced budget, except in instances of war, and to prevent them from raising our taxes unless two-thirds of the legislatures of the states approve said tax increase.
Thank you, Senator. It will be printed in the journal. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from... Yes.
I'm making a short inquiry of the pro tem.
Senator from Stoddard, do you yield?
Yes.
He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Well, you know, this is the last day that we can file bills, but also a real important day in Missouri, the first day of trout season. And I have Merrimack Springs State Park in my district and also Montauk State Park. And this morning I rose early and came over and in the Appropriations Committee attempting to balance a budget. And I heard by way of rumor that possibly we might get a report on whether or not the fish were biting, how many people might have been attending Montauk today.
Well, thank you, Senator. There was a good crowd on hand. I don't have any fish tales to tell you. I will tell you this, that I did catch two, but I call it a soft release. Other words, they got within about a foot or two of me and they got off the line. But I'm calling that a soft release back into the waters. But it was a beautiful day, and it's nice to know that here in the state of Missouri, the good Lord has blessed us with some beautiful places to get out and get away. And I had the opportunity to do that this morning with Aaron Jeffries with the Department of Conservation, and we had a good time. Looks like a lot of other people had a good time.
It's a big deal in my district, and I suspect if I can find any time, I have three grandchildren that we're going to probably have to make a stop sometime this weekend.
Well, we saw several young people there, and it was good to see them out there enjoying the outdoors. So thank you, Senator.
Thank you for the report.
On the order of business of resolution, Senator from 23rd. Senator from Stoddard.
Mr. President, I have an amended committee schedule to send forward.
Would you please send that schedule
Yes.
forward? It will be printed in the journal.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just, it's very small change, small business, jobs and economic development will begin their hearings at 12 noon. Commerce and consumer protection, government accountability will move their meeting start time up 1 hour to 1:30 p.m. So thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you see if there are messages from the House? If there are, I would ask that they please be read.
There are messages from the House. Please read the messages, Madam Secretary.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1174, an act relating to school accreditation with an emergency clause adopted, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. That objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of second reading of Senate bills.
Second reading, we're on the order of business, second reading of Senate bills. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'll start with Senate Bill 830.
Senate Bill 830, an act relating to physician assistance.
Health and mental health. Senate Bill 831.
Senate Bill 831, an act relating to the designation of a highway.
Transportation, Senate Bill 832.
Senate Bill 832, an act relating to primary elections.
Financial and governmental organizations, Senate Bill 833.
Senate Bill 833, an act relating to the designation of a memorial bicycle and pedestrian bridge.
Transportation, Senate Bill 834.
Senate Bill 834, an act relating to funds coming into the possession of sheriffs.
Jobs and economic development, Senate Bill 835.
Senate Bill 835, an act relating to fireworks.
Small business, Senate Bill 836.
Senate Bill 836, an act relating to social service programs.
Health and mental health, Senate Bill 837.
Senate Bill 837, an act relating to franchises.
Commerce and consumer protection, Senate Bill 838.
Senate Bill 838, an act relating to the remediation of property in municipal areas.
Small business, Senate Bill 839.
Senate Bill 839, an act relating to student transfers.
Education, Senate Bill 840.
Senate Bill 840, an act relating to sales and use tax collections.
Veterans Affairs, Senate Bill 841.
Senate Bill 841, an act relating to raw milk.
Agriculture, Senate Bill 842.
Senate Bill 842, an act relating to teacher and school employee retirement systems.
Veterans Affairs, Senate Bill 843.
Senate Bill 843, an act relating to temporary license plates.
Transportation, Senate Bill 844.
Senate Bill 844, an act relating to the Public Service Commission.
Veterans Affairs, Senate Bill 845.
Senate Bill 845, an act relating to members of economic development tax boards.
Jobs Economic Development, Senate Bill 846.
Senate Bill 846, an act relating to multifamily residential property.
Jobs Economic Development, Senate Bill 847.
Senate Bill 847, an act relating to the designation of a memorial highway.
Transportation, Senate Bill 848.
Senate Bill 848, an act relating to interest rates.
Financial and governmental organizations, Senate Bill 849.
Senate Bill 849, an act relating to solid waste management.
Commerce and consumer protection, Senate Bill 850.
Senate Bill 850, an act relating to confiscated animals.
Agriculture, Senate Bill 851.
Senate Bill 851, an act relating to conflicts of interest for legislators.
Rules and joint rules, Senate Bill 852.
Senate Bill 852, an act relating to firemen's retirement.
Veterans Affairs, Senate Bill 853.
Senate Bill 853, an act relating to firemen's retirement.
Veterans, Senate Bill 854.
Senate Bill 854, an act relating to the employment disqualification list for home care employees.
Health and mental health, Senate Bill 855.
Senate Bill 855, an act relating to food stamps assistance.
Governmental accountability, Senate Bill 856.
Senate Bill 856, an act relating to the Missouri Employers Mutual Insurance Company.
Small business. Senate Joint Resolution 51.
Senate Joint Resolution 51, a joint resolution relating to nonpartisan judicial commission.
Judiciary.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, so we'll go to the order of business of House bills on second reading.
On order of business of House bills on second read. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 43.
House Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 43, a joint resolution relating to the Common Sense Obligation to Provide Accountability and Spending Stabilization Act.
Ways and Means, House Bill 1135.
House Bill 1135, an act relating to the review of state administrative rules.
Jobs and Economic Development, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1140.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1140, an act relating to the Missouri Accountability Portal.
General Laws, House Bill 1036.
House Bill 1036, an act relating to political party emblems on ballots.
Financial and Governmental Organizations, House Bill 1039.
House Bill 1039, an act relating to the Missouri Local Government Employees Retirement System.
Veterans Affairs, House Bill 1099.
House Bill 1099, an act relating to the designation of veterans of Operation Iraq Enduring Freedom Day.
General Laws, House Bill 1100.
House Bill 1100, an act relating to the designation of Vietnam Veterans Day.
General Laws, House Bill 1105.
House Bill 1105, an act relating to the state militia.
Veterans Affairs, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1311.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1311, an act relating to tax incentives for technology business facilities and data storage centers.
Jobs and Economic Development, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1329.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1329, an act relating to motor vehicle registration.
Small Business, House Bill 1219.
House Bill 1219, an act relating to unlawful discriminatory practices.
Commerce and Consumer Protection.
Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. I ask that you recognize me for an announcement.
On the order of business of announcements, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. If we don't get the House concurrent resolution back from the House signed, it's time to make my adjournment motion. I'll be making a recess motion so that we can get that resolution back and have the pro tem sign it.
On the order of business of announcements, Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 12:45 this day.
Heard the motion of the Senator from the 23rd. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand in recess until 12:45.
The hour of recess having ended, the Senate shall come to order. Senator from the 23rd. Let all other business of the Senate be suspended so that House Concurrent Resolution Number 8 may be read at length by the Secretary. And if no objections are made, be signed to that end that it shall have the full force and effect of law. Secretary, please read House Concurrent Resolution Number 8.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 8, relating to the disapproval of the Missouri State Tax Commission's recommendations regarding the value of each grade of agricultural and horticultural land based on product capability.
Hearing no objections, the concurrent resolution is so signed. If there is an objection, or the objection notwithstanding, the concurrent resolution is so signed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you. Mr. President, no further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned until 4 p.m. Monday, March 5th, 2012.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from St. Charles. All in favor of that motion say aye. All opposed, no. The Senate shall stand adjourned until this coming Monday at 4 p.m.